Welcome. The grand author of life works in mysterious ways. As we prepare ourselves to worship, may we open ourselves to God's inexplicable and extravagant generosity, and may we experience God's refreshing, anointing, and life-giving hospitality. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen.
Please turn in your blue hymnals to number 640. It's a typo in the bulletin. It's 640. Together we call each other into worship by going to a call to worship on the back of your bulletin. The Lord is doing a new thing. The Lord makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The Lord forms us as a people, and we declare God's praise. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Let us pray. Lord, you have indeed done great things for us. In this place, may we seek to glorify your holy name, remembering what you have done and what you're doing now, and holding in faith what is yet to come. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite all the children to come forward to a time with Janet.
Rubbed up against her. Color was everywhere, and it didn't end there. The old lady herself was a palette. Even her cow and her cat were beautiful works of art. Can everybody see the picture? I don't think the dairy farmers here have a cow like this, do they? When she milked her cow, the milk was no longer white. The hay she harvested was no longer golden. Even the apples she picked changed colors when she touched them. Her world was happy, vibrant, and alive. She had been given a crystal clear bracelet as a gift by the forest gnome because Fennec had taken such good care of the forest and everything in it. The gnome told her if she wore the bracelet and continued to do good works, she would have eternal happiness for as long as she chose. Can everybody see the picture? One day, when Fennec was out fetching water from the stream, a stranger happened upon her cottage. He was amazed at the color of her cow. He had never seen anything so beautiful. He didn't see the cat, which was relaxing on the roof. He called out and looked around, and when he saw that there was no one home, he untied the cow's harness and took it away. In return for the cow, he left his walking stick and his ring, the only two things that he had with him of any value. He had been walking for days in search of food for his family who lived on the other side of the Blue Top Mountains. Because of the cold and wet weather, the crops that he had planted did not grow. Winter was coming, and he was afraid for the lives of his family. He did not want to steal the cow, but his family was desperate, and they needed the milk. So off he went into the forest, over the stream, towards the Blue Top Mountains. When Fennec returned, she saw that her rainbow cow was missing, and in its place was a walking stick and a ring atop it. She grew angry that someone would steal her possession. As she got angrier and angrier, the color drained out of her face until she was gray and ashen. She took the walking stick and the ring and put it on her finger and headed into the forest. She looks mad, eh? The forest did not seem as bright as usual or as friendly to Fennec. It was suddenly darker and scarier. Fennec watched as the small animals ran away from her and the flowers hid their blooms. Even the birds kept out of her path. They did not recognize their friend, whose mean and colorless face was now foreign to them. She charged through the forest behind her cat, who was following the cow scent. Across the stream they plowed, then over the mountaintops. She grew angrier with each step, and as her anger grew, all of the color drained from her person until she no longer looked like a person, but a shadow. Finally, they came upon the humble shack of the man who had taken her cow. The shack was filled with beautiful colors of the rainbow. When Fennec saw her cow, it was still covered in color. The old man and his wife saw Fennec and approached her. He apologized for taking her cow and told her that he was going to return it as soon as the child was stronger. Fennec threw the walking stick and the ring at the couple. She took her cow and started to walk home. She was just as angry when she got home as she had been on the walk to get her cow. When she reached her home, she saw that there was no longer any color anywhere. Not on the cottage, not on the cat, not on the bed, or even her cow. It was gone. In her cottage, the sunlight was no longer bright, so she had to light a candle to see during the day. Fennec did not understand what was happening. Everything was pretty dark, wasn't it? So the next morning, she got up early and headed into the forest to find the gnome. This is a gnome. It took days for her to locate him because the forest had become much darker, just like her cottage. When she finally found the gnome's toadstool, she knocked on the door and there came a reply. "Who is there?" asked a small voice. "It is me, Fennec," the old maiden responded. "How can I help you?" asked the small voice again. "My color, it's all gone. I don't know why," said Fennec. "Where did the color come from?" asked the gnome. "Why, you gave it to me," replied Fennec. "I gave you the color?" he asked. "Yes," replied Fennec. "Don't you remember you gave me the crystal bracelet?" "I did give you the bracelet, Fennec, but the color you received on your own," said the small voice. "But how?" Fennec asked. The gnome then went on to explain how every time we do acts of kindness, we fill the world with color. The more good acts we do, the more color we get. The color only fades away when we are selfish, angry, and unkind to others. And once the color is gone, sometimes it's very hard to get back. Fennec listened to the gnome, and then she thought about the old man and his family. "What shall you do now?" asked the gnome. "Well, I'm going to get my color back," replied Fennec. Then she hurried through the forest, across the stream, and over the blue-topped mountains. She found the old man and his wife and asked how their child was. The old man told her the child was not well and sadly would die soon. They took Fennec into their shack, and immediately she was amazed by the explosion of the color in their home. It was so bright that she had to shield her eyes. She found the child lying in the corner on a small mat. She picked up the child and put the crystal clear bracelet on her arm and fed her food she had packed for her journey. The child's color began to brighten and she fell asleep. Fennec asked the couple for forgiveness and invited them to stay at her cottage until the child was strong enough, and they agreed. As they emerged from the forest towards her cottage, Flannie could see that the color was slowly returning to her home. There were rainbows everywhere you could see. And in time, the child grew stronger, and Flannie and her new friends became a family. Flannie realized that it was her kindness that painted the world around her in the beautiful colors. She knew that the more kindness she gave, the kinder she became, and the color never left her again. That end. Do you like that story? Mm-hmm. What may Flannie mean? And kind of dark. Yeah.
Maybe she will find her.
Was she looking for a cow? Because somebody took her cow? What made Flannie happy? All the colors. And what did she do? Where did she go?
She helped the family.
Yeah, the family. And she started to care for them again. Sometimes when you lose that caring and forgiveness and kindness component in your life, you become harsh and sad, just like Flannie. So I want you to ask God to help you and pray to Him and ask Him for forgiveness to fill your heart with love and kindness. So I have something that's colorful that you can take, and it's something you eat, so you better ask your mom and dad first. And you kind of have to look outside of the box, but this was brown. As a live form, it's brown and kind of ugly, but as an eaten form, it's colorful. And I want you to, when you have a gummy worm, that you think of love and kindness and caring and colors and brightness, okay? So you can take one. You can have one. I think I have one for everybody. So you always want to think of a gummy worm as happiness and kindness, so, and love. And that goes for the adults too. Can everybody get one?
I'm reading these words from the prophet Isaiah, who spoke to the Israelites as they were in exile. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lay down, they cannot rise. They're extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people. Together we want to look at the words of confession on the back, and I'll give you just a minute to read them over, and then together, when you're ready, we will speak them together. God of all who thirst, our hearts are parched from wandering in the deserts, far from your life-giving springs. Call us to your well. Fill our cups with your grace. Let your love overflow in our hearts and make us fully alive. Amen. And these words of assurance. The Lord continues to do great things for us, and we shall rejoice. Two weeks ago, I worked at Interfaith. Tuesday evenings, I work late, and the anticipated and much talked about storm had rolled in. What was interesting about that day was that in the morning, there was no sight of a storm. My day actually began by convincing one of my kids that he could not wear shorts to school. There was no sign that in the evening, one could not distinguish the road from the ditch. When I finally got home, everyone was convinced that a snow day was imminent. But when we woke up the next morning, it was calm and beautiful as the sun was rising, and I had to break it to the kids. Buses are running and the schools are open. Let's go. The world around us was absolutely gorgeous. Just as quickly as this snowstorm swept into our town, so quickly can our world be turned upside down and inside out. What looked dangerous and disastrous one night looked gorgeous the next. We may go about our day and all of a sudden we are swept up in the eye of a storm in which we don't recognize anything around us, not even ourselves. For some, a storm seems like an eternal blizzard. For some, it comes and goes and leaves devastation behind. For others, it is an intense but fairly short storm with no lasting impact. As the saying goes, life has its ups and downs. There are days when I feel saddened by the news and by personal encounters with conflict, hardship, illness, loneliness, and despair. When I meet people who appear to be lost in the wilderness, who live without hope and can't imagine a future. This has been an ever-present reality for humanity, then and now. Past, present, and most likely future. The stories of hope we find in the book of Isaiah and the Gospel of John are important reminders for us all. Hope in uncertain times is a key theme which weaves itself throughout the grand biblical narrative.
There's a new world coming. It's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming. It's already here. Let's begin to live that way.
Isaiah 43 finds the Israelites wandering, living in the desert, a place of hardship, helplessness, and hopelessness, a place of desolation and despair, not necessarily a place anyone wants to be in. The prophet speaks to his people as they are once again at such a low point during the Babylonian captivity that they constantly need assurance that things would turn around for them. The passage promises their freedom and liberation, and it speaks of an unheard of and yet wonderful event that will far surpass anything that has happened until then. Something beautiful will spring forth, even if it's not in the imminent future. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They're extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people. Israel is told to look to the past by remembering the great things God did for them at the Red Sea, the exodus out of Egypt, the freedom from slavery. But in Isaiah 43, verse 18, they're told, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. This shows that there is a sense in which we must remember the past in terms of God's great work on our behalf. There's also a sense in which we must forsake and forget the past with all its discouragement and defeat and move on to what God has for us in the future. It is in our human nature that we're busy remembering what God has done in the past. It may be difficult to muster the energy to imagine what God might do in the future. Think of friends you had in childhood, but haven't seen or spoken to since then. If you actually finally got together, what would it be easiest to talk about? I would imagine the past. Yet for any kind of relationship to continue to flourish, it requires both a past and ongoing interaction. God wants not just a history with God's people, but also a future with us. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. Why is the rear mirror smaller than the front windshield? It is suggested that it's the future and not the past that determines who you will become.
Can you imagine the big bad wolf making friends with the lamb? Every creature in harmony with a little child leading them. There's a new world coming, it's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming, it's already here. Let's begin to live that way.
The The New Testament reading is from the Gospel of John chapter 12 and retells the story of Mary anointing Jesus. Jesus is in Bethany on his way to Jerusalem weeks before his crucifixion. He's having supper with his friends Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, who had just been raised from the dead by Jesus. Martha is busy making the meal while Mary sits and listens to Jesus. Mary deep down understands Jesus' love and hope for all. She's present and taking in the moment with her friend. She's moved by his presence and pours perfume on his feet. This lavish ritual was used for burials only, and it's a way which foreshadows Jesus' death in a couple of weeks. But just as important of what may lay ahead is the hope and life Mary found in Jesus in that moment.
Can you imagine the city streets full of health and joy? Old men and women who live in peace, laughter of girls and boys. There's a new world coming, it's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming, it's already here. Let's begin to live that way.
Over the years, we've had the opportunity to dog sit. As dog sitters, you don't just get attached to one animal, you get a little attached to all. I still can say that I'm glad that we don't own a dog, but I'm the first one to admit that I miss them when they leave. I've observed a couple of things that dogs can teach humans, especially about hope. One of our favorite four-legged guests, which was the latest one that visited us, is Jersey. Jersey's a very lovely, loving, well-behaved, patient, and calm dog. He sheds. That's about his only fault. As soon as we stir in the morning, Jersey is by the back door wanting to get out for his morning pee. Then he goes straight to the kitchen where he knows we keep his food. He hopes he will get fed. After breakfast, he moves from the kitchen to the living room and lays down beside whoever is getting caught up on the sports highlights and hopes to get a belly rub before everyone leaves the house. Jersey's a smart dog, but it isn't his IQ or his education that make him do what he does every day morning. It is hope. Every day he wakes up with hope. And he holds on to that hope all day long. Now, I don't think it would be wise to take all our wisdom from four-legged creatures. But God, through God's people, often used images from the animal world to help us understand and make sense of our surroundings. Prophetic images often include animals. When it comes to emotions of love, hope, and joy, we engage what is in layman's terms called our mammal brain. Our mammal brain is not our thinking part of our brain. Our mammal brain is closest, actually, to a dog or cat brain. It helps us to understand and make sense of our emotions. Hope instills in us a sense of expectation and anticipation that new things can spring forward. Hope gives us the motivation to pursue possibilities and opportunities. Hope drives us to work hard and persist even in the face of obstacles, setbacks, and failure. In the Bible, hope is never static or a passive thing. It is dynamic, active, directive, and life-sustaining. Hope in the biblical narrative is the confident expectation, the sure certainty that God is and will be present in all and working through all to bring life to the world. Those who find hope and life in the midst of death and hardship can be filled with joy. This is over and over the message of God, the author of our life. God incarnate came to walk this earth to help us see and experience the abundant love, hope, and joy he brings to all humanity. I'm about to do a new thing. What can we do to allow God's new things to burst forth in our life? Picture yourself on a hilltop overlooking your village in the rain and looking across a gray landscape. It could be the town you grew up in, one you used to go to school in, or the one you live in now. In the rain, it seems cold and inhospitable. The buildings look tattered and old. The streets are clogged with traffic, and everyone seems miserable and bad-tempered. Then something miraculously happens. The clouds part and the sun comes streaming through. The whole world is transformed in an instant. The windows of the building turn gold. Gray concrete changes to burnished bronze. The streets look shiny and clean. A rainbow appears. The mucky river becomes an exotic, glistening serpent threading its way through the town. For one fabulous moment, everything seems to stop. Your breathing, your heart, your mind, the birds in the sky, the traffic streets, time itself, all seem to pause to take in the transformation. Such beautiful and unexpected changes in perspective have a dramatic effect. Not only what you see, but also on what you think and feel and how you relate to the world. This can radically alter your whole outlook on life in the blink of an eye. But what's truly remarkable about them is that very little actually changes. The village scape remains the same, but when the sun comes out, you simply see the world in a different light. Lent is the journey of many steps, a time for reflection about all aspects of our lives. Some of those reflections are of joy and blessing. Others are of difficult times, wounds that haven't healed, futures unknown. God reminds us to not be afraid. Let us learn to surrender all into hope. Together we will listen to this song, "There's a New World Coming," and if you feel like singing along or humming along, please do so.
There's a new world coming, it's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming, it's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Imagine the big bad wolf making friends with the lamb. Every creature in harmony with the little child leading them. There's a new world coming, it's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming, it's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Imagine the city streets full of health and joy. Old men and women who live in peace, the laughter of girls and boys. There's a new world coming,
it's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming, it's already here. Let's begin to live that way. It's a new world coming, it's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming, it's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Yes, there's a new world coming, it's already here. There's a new world on its way. There's a new world coming, it's already here. Let's begin to live that way. Let's begin to live that way. We can begin to live that way.
Ask the ushers to come forward to receive the offering. Let us pray. Extravagant God, lavishing your love on our poverty of heart, inspire us to give with generosity, to love life so that we may find it again, and thus the world be filled with the fragrance of your love through Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have any announcements, I ask you to come forward. I would like just to highlight that Easter is just 2 weeks away. Somehow it's coming quickly. And we will have our Good Friday service on March the 25th at our normal morning time, 9:45. And then Sunday morning breakfast at 8:30, followed by our Easter worship service at 10. There are no announcements. We'll share with each other some of our joys and concerns of the last week. Last Sunday, Jenilyn had shared that Wilfred Yancey was in the hospital, and Owen and Carol weren't here last Sunday, and so this morning we want to share and pray for Wilfred and his family as he passed away on Friday, and the visitations and funeral will be this week. And we want to pray for his wife Marlene and the entire family as they grieve for the loss of his life, and hopefully are able to find hope and celebration in the midst of it. Let us pray together. Lord, we know that spring is still a little bit off, but can we describe to you how the promise of spring feels? How the springtime twittering of birds fills us with hope? How the emergence of the ground out of the snow seems like a homecoming? How fragrance of spring flowers in the grocery store make us smile? How the feeling of the sun on our face is like a benediction. How we can thank you for the excitement of the change of seasons from winter
to spring. Lord, will hear our prayer when we call out of our thanks for the blessings of our community. What do you want us to see today through the eyes of our children? What do you want us to discover through the questions of our young adults? How do you want us to be shaped by the generosity of our people in the middle? What do you want us to become by listening to the wisdom of our elders? Why have you placed us in the community, Lord, except as a way of learning more about your goodness? Jesus, you show us the way, yet why are we so afraid of sharing the suffering of those around us? Lord, this morning we do pray for the family of Wilfred Yauncey and for his wife Marlene as they grieve the loss. Be with them in these days ahead when they say their last goodbyes, when they remember, and when they entrust him into your loving and caring hands. Do you see that sometimes we turn our faces, our hearts, from the deepest pain of those you bring into our lives? God, we pray that we turn towards them. Can you forgive us for minimizing the pain of others and downplaying their burdens? Can you help us imagine how we would want to be treated if we were in their shoes? Can you give us the courage to act that way? Please, O Lord, hear our prayer.
Oh Lord, hear our prayer. Oh Lord, hear our prayer. And I call, answer me. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me.
Holy Spirit, can your power heal the great rifts in our world? Can you do something about this refugee crisis? Can you bring peace again in the Middle East? How can you address intolerance and racism that infects our communities, our world? How are we to be an agent for change when we ourselves doubt your power? Can you open our eyes to how you're already working for peace in ways that we cannot fathom or understand? God, who created us and walks with us in this beautiful and troubled world, can you hear our prayers even when there are only questions? This Lent, we've been celebrating the ancient faith practice of communion every Sunday. All are invited to participate in this ritual of breaking bread and drinking wine, but you're also free to pass the bread and cup on to your neighbor.
God walks with us on this Lenten journey and invites us to the table. He invites all. All who are committed to the journey are welcome. All who have questions about the journey are welcome. All who are skeptical about the journey are welcome. Together, as we prepare ourselves for this communion again in the circle, we'll be singing hymn number 87 in the green hymnal, Put Peace Into Each Other's Hands. And please focus on the words as you sing. Let's gather around the table in a circle again.
Thank you. listen to these words of benediction. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. May we perceive the fragrance of the new thing that God is doing in our world. Amen. Go in peace.